Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Well, welcome to the Pastor's Roundtable from Albertville First Baptist Church. This is a radio interview and podcast that is originally airing on the weekend of July the 4th of 2020. And I have had the privilege over the last few months of having a number of guests, pastors, judges, missionaries, different people. But today I'm very excited to have Jack Riley. Jack is a friend. He is a deacon at First Baptist Church with us, a retired businessman, and served with the Marines in Vietnam, and just a true American hero in many ways. And so I have wanted to be able to interview him in this way at some point, so we thought it was the perfect time, and he was willing to come. So, Jack, thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
You better believe it. Real quickly, before we get into our questions together, let me tell everyone who's listening how you can participate with Albertville First Baptist Church. If you have a church, we encourage you to participate there, but we know there are a number of places that are still just meeting online, or people who are unable for health reasons to get out very much right now. So Albertville First Baptist Church, you can find us online at albertvillefbc.church. We broadcast live on Sundays at 10:15 a.m. We also broadcast through Facebook Live at the same time. You can find whatever is easier for you. You are also able to listen to our worship service. If you do not have an internet connection that's reliable or a computer device to watch, you can take any landline phone or cell phone and dial toll-free 1-855-539-6018. 1-855-539-6018. If you'll do that at 10:15 on Sunday morning, you'll be able to listen to our service live. And there's one button you can press the first time you call and give them permission, our phone service that uses this. And then from now on Sunday mornings at 10:15, they'll call you and you just have to pick up and listen. It's a great service and encourage you to participate with that. Also, we would let people know that we do have in-person worship taking place. We are meeting now with two worship options, 8:30 a.m. or 10:15 a.m. The 8:30 a.m. option is designed for those who are higher risk for COVID-19 or who have some other health factors that might make them want to be a little more cautious. So we're asking everyone that enters and exits the service at 8:30, to wear a mask. We're requiring that for our 8:30 service. Now, once you're seated in the worship center, we're spread out, very socially distant. You can take that off for the worship service and then place it back on as you leave. That's perfectly fine. If you don't have a mask, we have some available at all the doors. The 10:15 a.m. service, it is open. You do not have to wear a mask. They're encouraged, but you do not have to. You can simply come in and worship with us. And so everyone is invited to participate with us, and you are welcome to do so. But now I would like for us to begin, and I want to say on this July the 5th, first of all, how thankful I am for the blessing of latitude and longitude, the place where God allowed me to be born, the place where I was able to be born and raised. I love the Lord, and I'm thankful that I'm a citizen of heaven, and I know my eternal home is in heaven, but I am so thankful that by God's providence, I have been able to live my life in the United States of America. And Mr. Jack, for all the trouble that our world has and all the craziness going on in our nation and the difficulties and the strife and the discontent, I am still excited to say and say without any reservation, we live on in the greatest nation on the planet.
Amen.
And we're very blessed. So, Jack, I would love, before we talk about some things related to Independence Day and our thankfulness and some of your personal story, I'd love for you to share your salvation story, how you came to know Jesus.
Chris, when I was a junior in church? Well, to start with, my family, I come from a large family. It was 8 children.
Yes.
I am the 7th of 8. I had 5 older brothers.
Wow.
So you can imagine my blue jeans had lots of patches on them.
Yes.
But my parents being Christians, and we were raised in church. And when you go to church every Sunday, sometimes you start taking things for granted.
Right.
But as a young junior, I had a Sunday school teacher. His name was Jim Allen. And Jim was, he was such a strong individual. Mm. He was a World War II veteran.
Wow.
As were most men in our church.
Sure.
during the time I was growing up. So I really looked up to this man. But then those teachings in Sunday school as a junior, and then having Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is so important.
Amen.
Reaching all of the children in the community.
Yes.
And it was there that the Holy Spirit first started speaking to me. I asked my mom one time, and I can remember this vividly, walking into the kitchen, and my mother was cooking, and I said, "Mother, am I a Christian?"
Wow.
And she said, "Son, if you're asking that question, then it means that the Lord is speaking to you."
Mm, yes.
"But only you can answer that question." Mm. And it was then that I knew in a service that day in 1956.
Wow.
That I was saved.
Well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Now, this in the Gadsden area?
Right. Over on the East Gadsden, over on Payden Farm. Payden
awesome.
Baptist Church was our home church.
I'm not familiar with that church. Is it still there?
Oh,
still?
Yes. Oh, yes. Payden Baptist is a cornerstone of East Gadsden.
Okay.
Over there.
See, and I'm just not familiar with that one. Well, I'm thankful for their ministry and for their heritage and for what that means. Would you take just a moment, tell us about your life growing up? So you grew up with a large family, but then now you have a family of your own. You spent some time in the military. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. But aside from that, you had a long career and now are retired. Just give us a little history of your life.
Well, briefly.
Yes.
Raised in East Gadsden, attended East Gadsden Junior High, which mm-hmm. became
right.
Litchfield. Then went to Gadsden High School and participated in sports and everything, and was an officer in my class, and met my wife-to-be, who was my high school sweetheart, Jenny Lou. We've now been married 55 years. And growing up in East Gadsden, the values that were set, obviously, by those men that had such an impact on my life,
sure.
Really pointed me toward the military. But after graduating high school and starting to college, and Jen Lou and I got married, and I was going to college at night full time and working full time for Southern Bell Telephone Company
right.
in Atlanta, Georgia. But my wife and I got married and moved there. And then but less than a year of marriage, right during December, that's when I joined the military. But from there, coming back from the military
right.
and finishing my degree and going to work in the mining industry, I retired from Volk Materials Company in Birmingham, but I had over 40 years of working in the construction aggregates business, which
right.
for most folks that don't know that's rock quarries. So I was a rock man.
Yes.
But retired from that. My wife, Jen Lou, was she worked in the accounting department for Vulcan, so we both retired from there. And our working career carried us literally all over the, for me, all over the United States and
sure.
Mexico. And my wife had to travel a good bit also in the accounting field. So it was a wonderful company to work for, and we still have lifelong friends that are continuing to work there.
Well, and we're thankful that you decided to build yourself a little farm, and even I know before you retired, as you were making your way, you were working on that up here, and then once you retired, ended up here in Marshall County, and we're thankful. We're glad to have you here. How long have you guys? How long have you been here now?
We've been here since 2000. Like you say, we built a little pond on the property and back in the late 70s, and knowing that this was going to be our retirement home. Sure. And then we built a little garage apartment in 97. That's when we started visiting.
Right.
And it was interesting because I told my wife, I said, we'll visit around several churches. And it just so happened here at First Baptist Albertville was the first place we visited. And I was just overwhelmed at the kindness that met me and my wife at the front door. Knowing some of the members here, but Ronald Thompson.
Sure.
One of the finest people that's ever lived.
Yes.
Ronald said, I need to take y'all to our Sunday school class. So we've been there ever since.
Yes, and I appreciate that. As Ronald Thompson, for those who are listening, passed away a few years back. He served. He was the district attorney here in our county for many years, a well-respected man. But for those who just respected him because of his office and didn't know him, they were missing out because I respect him because of who he was. Just
that's
such a godly man who loved the Lord. Well, we're thankful. That was a blessing. I'm glad he made that connection, and I'm glad that you guys are here and have been such leaders here in our church for so long. So we purposely kind of skipped a little bit of the military part and want to focus on that for a little while. Jack, I can remember, and I knew you for a long time before this, but and I knew that you had been in Vietnam. I knew that you had received at least one Purple Heart in Vietnam. I knew that you had served in the Marines, but I didn't know a whole lot of your story, and I don't remember what it was for. But the first time I ended up downstairs in your home and looking on the walls, not in the major part of where everyone lives upstairs, but downstairs you have the medals that have been earned, but you also have to stand there and look and see those Purple Hearts. Now, I can't remember if it's two or three.
Three
Purple Hearts there to see all those medals. I stood there, and I went home that day and told Lily, I said, Lily, It was an awesome sight to stop and to see, and to be able to see even represented on the wall someone's character and someone's dedication and a little bit of what they went through, which it doesn't even begin to describe all that. But it's always been I've been honored to know you and always considered you a true American patriot and hero. You did receive three Purple Hearts, and I, as your pastor, have had the privilege to come and pray with you at, I'm going to say, sadly to say, a few different surgeries.
A bunch of them.
you, due to an injury, one major injury you sustained in the war, you've had how many surgeries now?
Oh, goodness, Chris. I've had over 20 major surgeries. Mm-hmm. I've had 13 surgeries just on my spine.
Mm. Well, I can remember, and I want to ask you about that injury in just a second, but I can remember it was in December, I believe, and you were in the hospital in Birmingham, and I came down to visit you, and you and your sweet wife were there in the room. And while I was visiting I don't know if you remember this or not, some ROTC students from Woodlawn High School came through to visit some of the veterans, and they brought, I think, some Christmas cards, I think is what they were bringing.
Yep.
And there were, I think it was three young ladies, I believe, that came in, and I sort of got tickled because when they came in, and then I also got embarrassed for her, but you were so gracious to her because she asked what branch of service you served, and you said the Marines, and then she asked about, she said, well, I bet that was fun, and I bet they let you go to a lot of fun places. And you just kind of looked at Jenny, your wife, and smiled and said, yeah, I went to some fun places, okay. And I was thinking, that poor young lady has no clue of who was sitting before her or what had taken place in your life. So let's talk about that fun place of Vietnam for a moment. That's her words, not yours or mine.
Yeah.
That one Purple Heart, the one major injury from your spine. I want people to get just a little glimpse, because I think, not that, and you are, by the way, a wordsmith, and I love to watch, or excuse me, read your posts on Facebook and other things, because two things. One, I've never met anybody like you that can remember names the way you do. You have a distinct memory that is sharp, and you remember names of all those you served with, specific information about battles and things. And so I love to read that. And of course, every time I read it, it reminds me to be thankful for my nation, and it reminds me to be thankful for you. Now, I know you're not making that about you, but I want you to know that I'm thankful for you. I do think, for those that say, well, I don't know any of those stories, I don't think they ought to be forgotten. And I think it's important that people know sacrifices that were made. So for just a quick moment, talk about the one injury with the building and what happened there. Just talk about that just a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, long story short, we were in a battle in September of 1966. My company was attacking a battalion of the Viet Cong.
Yes.
And we were in a pitch battle with them about 30 meters apart at the time. And my team took up a position in an old stone building. And the enemy started mortaring us. One of our helicopters was coming in to take out some of our wounded. We had 66 Marines wounded during that battle. But when the helicopter came in, along with the mortars, the helicopter, if you've never been under a big, heavy Marine helicopter, the down pressure from those blades is tremendous. Mm. And that, along with the mortar rounds that hit the building, caused the building to implode on us. Mm. There were three of us in there, and it actually just caused my spine to be the old country term, squished.
Mm, yes.
And the compression of my spine ultimately is what caused all the problems, but I was still able, even though I'd already been wounded prior to that in the battle, I was still able to stay in the battle. But that battle really, although it caused me some permanent problems, that battle really wasn't the worst battle I was ever in. Mm. But it was the one that ultimately caused me to have the most physical damage.
Well, and years and years, and this is not you saying it, but me, but years and years then of back surgeries to come and chronic pain, you have earned the right to speak out about the wonderful freedoms we have as a nation. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your service. I'm thankful on this Independence Day weekend for all the men and women, some who lost their lives. I know you lost a number of friends in Vietnam.
Yes.
And then a number of others who faced battles or faced injuries. And then another number who faced of military folks who have faced injuries that can't be seen and deal with traumatic issues. And I know, and I didn't ask you about this in advance, but I know that you have worked with an organization in the past. I can't remember the name of it.
It's called the Semper Fi Odyssey program. And what we try to do through that program is take wounded Marines, sailors, soldiers that are in what they call the Wounded Warrior Barracks at each base.
Right.
And the military actually recommends people for our program. And it's a week-long intensive program of trying to prepare these severely wounded. I'm talking about men who have lost limbs, right. arms, legs. Also people, not just men, but women also, who have had such a traumatic experience right. in their combat. Many of them, in fact, most of them were not in a pitched battle, but were in an IED, an improvised right. explosive device, which just literally blew up their vehicle
right.
and caused such damage. We've learned that the damage to the brain is something that it really takes specialized medicine that has really come of age during this period of time. But working with these young people that have the most severe form of post-traumatic stress, which is survivor syndrome.
Sure.
Survivor syndrome, and I've even experienced that to some degree in my early years after the war, back in the days that you just didn't talk about it. World War II veterans, people always say, well, my grandfather or my dad was a World War II veteran, but he never talked about it.
Right.
A combat veteran rarely will talk to anyone unless it's another combat veteran.
Sure.
Because they know that to protect their family, their family can't really understand what they went through. So why talk about it? But getting to talk about it with another veteran, then they open up.
Sure.
So that's my end.
Sure.
That's my end, because I go to these young Marines or soldiers or sailors, and I say, I was awarded 3 Purple Hearts myself.
Right.
So then they automatically, you know, their eyes open up and say, oh, well, here's somebody I can talk to,
sure.
I can relate to.
Sure.
And post-traumatic stress from the standpoint of survivor guilt, that is the most severe form. And just getting young people to open up about that, which opens the door then to talk about their association with the Lord.
Yes.
And all we're looking for is for them to ask the question, because being the type of facility that we are,
right.
we can't go in there and just say, we're in here to preach to you.
No, no. But they open the door, you can surely respond.
They open the door, and that's what I'm looking for, and that's where I'm trying to lead them.
And I tell you, I appreciate that. And that's a good reminder for everyone who's listening that God will take whatever your life experience is, whatever the circumstance from which you have been raised or which you have found yourself in. I have yet to see anybody that cannot use that as a platform to minister to people.
Exactly.
But you've got to be willing to.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's not easy to do what you do with that, but I'm thankful you do it. I'm thankful for that organization. It would be good for our folks who are listening to pray for them.
Absolutely.
The organization's still active today?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Still very active.
Yes. There's anywhere from 6 to 8 sessions a year. Up in the mountains in Pennsylvania, and we isolate them.
Right.
You know, there's only one spot on the property you can get cell phone coverage.
Wow.
So,
<That's>
you know,
isolated
when we say
days.
We isolate them, they're isolated.
Yes. Well, speaking of that then, so people in my mind, I think, especially maybe younger generations, we tend to forget. Because we live in such a social media-driven society and a 24-hour news cycle. Jack, I'm convinced that part of the downfall of our society is social media and a 24-hour news cycle.
Absolutely.
Because we just repeat over and over the worst, with not to inform people, but to get ratings. And we see that over and over. And so a lot of people can see how fractured things are in our nation, and they are. But we don't mean to belittle that, because there are problems, and there are still real problems. However, we have to stop and recognize, especially on this weekend, of how blessed we are. I was able these last few weeks. I'll tell you what helped for me, not being able to go to worship when we had to quarantine because of COVID-19, and I totally agree with and understand the reasoning behind that, but by having to do that and not being able to go to worship, listen, we were missing out, and I was missing it. And so then to be able to return, it's just a reminder to me, there are places around the world that has nothing to do with the virus. They just simply can't worship freely. The freedoms we have because of the sacrifice that was made for us is amazing. And I want to clarify to those who are listening really quickly, I'm not let me just make a couple of statements that I mean with from all my heart. Number one, God is God. He is not American. The United States is not Israel. I don't believe in replacement theology that we've become Israel. Israel's Israel. But God has blessed us as a nation that has greater freedoms to worship, to live out our faith, to share our faith, to propagate the gospel than anywhere else in the world. We are truly blessed. And so I am not suggesting that everyone has to think alike for things to be right. In fact, that's not going to happen. But here's what I know. I know people who follow Jesus who are Republican, who are Democrat, who are Caucasian, who are African-American, who are Latino, who are rich, who are poor. And but the thing we hold common together most of all, we hold two things in common. We hold the fact that we have Jesus in our lives as believers, but we also hold the fact that we have been born and raised in such an incredible place. And even with its problems, that we have so much to be thankful for. So my prayer is that we can get back to our Judeo-Christian values that we were founded on. Yes. And those values include justice. Those values include grace. They include morality. There's no room in our society for prejudice. Now, it's there, and it's going to be there as long as until the Lord returns. But there's no room in the life of believers for it. There's no room in the life of believers. There's so many things we could talk about that people want to take one issue and get stuck on. But the reality is, I would encourage people to do two things, and I brought two scriptures with me, and then I'll ask you to share one. What I brought, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, first of all, then, I urge you, this is in this letter written to Timothy, first of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. If I can just encourage the believers who are listening right now, you have a responsibility to pray for our government leaders. You have a responsibility to pray for our president. You have a responsibility to pray for our Congress. And it goes all the way down to our local leaders. Now, if you live long enough, and Jack, you have, and so have I, sooner or later, some of those leaders are going to be people that have opposite ideologies than you do and I do. But that hasn't changed this scripture one bit, that our call is to pray for them and to pray that God will move in their life, pray for revival to take place in their life, pray for wisdom as they lead. And boy, I tell you, I would not want to be a governmental leader within this day and age with all it. Listen, you can't win for losing in people's minds in any regard. And that's I don't care. That's Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
So if we can pray, we need to pray for our leaders. And then secondly, I would encourage us to know that, yes, our eternal home for all eternity is heaven. We are citizens of heaven. But for this time on earth, we are much like the people in Jeremiah that were in exile. We are, the scripture tells us, in exile in the sense that we are not at our eternal home yet. But there's this wonderful passage in Jeremiah chapter 29. Everybody knows where it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope in the future." But people don't often talk about the other verse, and it's verses 5 through 7, which say this, speaking to the Jewish people that were then placed in other places. And in my mind, I think it is safe to make the transition that for us as followers of Jesus here on this earth, right now living in the United States of America that we can, I don't think it's a stretch to apply this, and it says this: build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. And then here's the key: but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. In my mind, I think that we should pray for God to continue to use the United States of America, for us to be drawn back into right relationship with Him. And I think it's important to pray for the whole nation, but if we just prayed for believers to act like believers, it would go a long way into seeking the welfare of our city and our country. That's my thoughts, Jack.
Well, yes, it would. Chris, this goes back many, many years, but I felt God really calling me to try to reach veterans.
Yes.
Here in church where we teach Sunday school and we have Bible studies, and I just encourage everybody to take advantage of that.
Sure.
You're just missing out if you're not in whatever church you attend. But to get to talk with veterans. Mm. In the Bible, there are 77 verses that pertain to veterans.
Right.
A lot of people don't really think about that or understand that. But these verses, if you are a veteran, especially if you're a veteran of combat.
Right.
These verses will... You will automatically, if you're not a Christian, you're going to be able to read it. But if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is going to really help you interpret what this is saying.
Right.
But having lost so many friends, six of my squad were killed in one battle.
Wow.
And those six Marines were just young men starting their lives, but not being able to attend their burial or any type of ceremony to remember them, that affected everyone. Mm. And, of course, the only way you could deal with that, if you lost one of your best friends, and yet the next day you've got to go do it all over again.
Can't imagine.
You just can't dwell on that. So the only way we could deal with it was to not talk about it.
Mm.
And that not talking about it is where so many veterans, even Christian,
yes,
that would never really open up about the loss of that friend and the fact that they... the question was always, they were a better man than I. Why them and not me?
Mm.
So the survivor guilt starts to really play on them. But the verse in John 15:13, greater love hath no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends.
Yes.
That, if you think about the 4th of July. And the 4th of July for me is the first thing I think about is two battles. I was there for 13 months, so I got to have some months that overlapped, and July for me was one of those. And the 4th of July for me was two day-long battles.
Wow. Wow.
For both years. And so many young men that had been killed and laid out in the scorching sun for 2 days before we could even reach them. They were in another outfit, but we were flown in to get them. But, it was very difficult. You can just imagine laying out in the Vietnam summer heat and the condition the bodies were in.
Sure.
But for us as Christians... I had a family of one of those persons that were killed that day asked me about, well, what did y'all do? How did y'all handle them? They were so concerned about right. their body. And I explained to them that we handled them with all the kindness and care that we could in right. a battle because sure. we were still
sure.
in the battle. But, you know, I tried to get across it was more of a concern that each of these men had a relationship yes. with the Lord.
Yes.
They, sadly, not all do. Mm. Sadly, a lot of people think if you die for your country, you're going to heaven. That's not true either.
It's not scriptural.
That's
no.
not scriptural at all. So getting folks to understand here on the 4th of July, for all of the turmoil that's going on in the country today, remember why this country was founded
yes.
in the beginning.
Yes.
And remember the sacrifices that were made by the American citizens
yes.
all over the world who died for them to have the freedom to go to church, mm. because in most of those countries, they didn't have that freedom.
That's right.
And for them to understand that these people gave their life for us.
Mm. Yes.
Do not, you know how I feel about the flag.
Yes, sir.
That flag has covered a lot of coffins of a lot of my friends.
Yes.
And for someone to disrespect that flag, I take it personal.
I understand.
And I think we as Americans should all take it personal.
Right.
That flag represents all who have died
yes.
for this country. But it also represents, just like our Christian flag on the other side
yes.
of the sanctuary here, that we are a body of Christ. We are the church.
That's right.
And it's our duty that we bring others to the body.
Mm.
But you can't make them do it, but through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is so powerful. We lost our son in
yes.
the 1st of April, our oldest son. And were it not for the prayers mm. of our church and our friends, mm. the Holy Spirit ministering to us that we felt
mm.
we had never made it through that. That is, I've lost dear friends, but when you lose a child,
well,
that's different.
And I am so thankful that God brought Will back from Florida to here a few years ago, and that we had the opportunity to get to know him and to serve with him and him serve with us here.
Oh,
and
he loved and this church.
We got to minister to him, and he ministered with us. And his loss is profound, but I'm so thankful that we got to know him and to see that, and then to be able to walk through that with you. I want to thank you for your openness and honesty today. And I'm thankful again. I know people appreciate you here, but I don't think you have any understanding of people's thoughts of you here, that you are a true hero and they respect you to the utmost degree and proudly stand with you in that regard. And I will echo what Jack said. With 4th of July, this airing on the 5th, and then maybe people listening for months to come afterwards, you know, the 4th of July, it's fine to celebrate with some fireworks. And listen, I'm sure that I will do the same and will enjoy some good food as well. But you really want to celebrate our independence, and you really want to honor those that paid the price for that. Get up and go to church next Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
And the next Sunday morning. Live out your faith. If you're not able to physically go, you know, use your opportunities to share the gospel, because we have been afforded such privileges because of the men and women who gave their lives for us and those who did not lose their life but gave so much of their energy, time, and effort and their health for us. So as we conclude, we're about 40 minutes in now, and I'm thinking that time, this has flown by, but let me ask you three specific questions. One is, how can we pray for our current military? Two is, how can we pray specifically for wounded veterans? And then three, How can, in your mind, can we show them the most honor at this point?
Praying for our military overall. Pray for their leadership.
Yes.
Because everything in the military is leadership down.
Right.
And by that I mean pray that the leaders of our country, starting with our president,
yes,
will truly understand what the military must do and has the ability to do.
Right. Right.
So pray for our leadership. Pray that the individual Marine or soldier or sailor or airman, pray that they will, at that moment of crisis that they will all have, will have that true understanding, as I did, that God, through the Holy Spirit, was with me.
Yes.
No matter what happened to my earthly body, God was with me.
Mm, yes.
And then for those who are really suffering today, and there are many, pray for them individually. If you know them, that's wonderful. If you can call them by name, but if you don't know them, just go to a site like the Bethesda Naval Hospital site.
Right.
And look through some of the individuals that are there and that were suffering. And, you know, I just want to quickly tell you about one young Marine that was wounded in Iraq. And he lost half of his brain.
Mm.
He should have died. But that young man with half a head.
Right.
Now, he did look unusual.
Sure.
But the first time we met him, but the second time we met him, they had managed to put a prosthetic up there that would, make it look normal. But this young man, although shot in the head, completed his college degree.
Wow.
And became a high school history teacher.
Wow.
And is a committed Christian.
Praise the Lord.
Now, does he have a testimony? You better believe he has a testimony. But pray for these individual people that are still, even years and years after the war, just pray that God will open that door so that someone can show them what the light really is.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining me today in this, and I'll just end by encouraging everyone who's listening to do those very things. Pray for our military, pray for our leadership. I encourage you to live out the scripture that we read, to seek the welfare of our city, seek the welfare of our nation. Now, the way, I don't mean that our nation would become wealthy or that our city would become the welfare, and that means the good, that we would be good citizens, that we would be just and honorable people, that we would do all the things that we know come with that, and that we would be graceful and compassionate people. Look for ways to honor that, and above all else, if I can encourage you, whether you're able to attend church in person or not, if you're out at the store or you're picking something up, or you're out and you see someone and you see a veteran, you thank them for the fact that we have the freedoms to openly worship the Lord and live the incredible life we get to live because of their sacrifice. And Jack, I want to end by saying thank you to you. I'm thankful for your friendship. I'm thankful for your leadership in our church. I'm thankful for that you're not just, you don't just turn this on when you're talking or when you're writing, on the post. This is 24 hours a day for you. This is your life. This is who you are. And I'm thankful. And I want to end by praying for our nation. So let's pray. Father God, we are blessed to live where we do. Lord, we understand that there are hundreds of nations around the world. A number of them do have some freedoms. A number of them make it very open and accessible for people to live out a gospel life. But Father, there are many that do not have those freedoms, and there are many that do not have an openness for any type of religion, much less following you, the one true God. But Father, I can say without any reservation that living in these United States of America is such a blessing. And Father, for all that we could stand and say is wrong and all that we could stand and say that needs to be fixed and addressed, I just want to take a moment to say thank you. I realize that we have gotten in the way of it with our sinfulness and our own ideas and ideologies, but I'm thankful that you and your sovereignty have allowed the United States to flourish. Father, I do not think that that is for any other reason than to give you glory and that we might be a place that can make a difference for the world. So, Father, help us to do that. Lord, I'm thankful for our military. I'm thankful for the men and women who have served in the past and those who are serving in the present. And I'm thankful for the young man or young woman who's going to listen to this that's saying, hey, that's me. I'm already planning to enlist next year or as soon as I graduate or whatever the case may be. Father, we're thankful for them. Father, I pray for our president. I pray for our leaders. I pray that you would give them your wisdom. I pray that you would help them to seek after you and your plan. And Father, I pray for our citizens of these United States that we would all seek to live moral Judeo-Christian values. And Father, I pray specifically for followers of Jesus, that we would live our faith in such a way that we could be united as believers, that it would cross political lines, that it would cross ethnic lines, that it would cross other lines, that we together could say that Jesus is our focus, and together, because of that, we can let our morality be lived out. We can let our justice and our mercy and our grace be lived out. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for this privilege. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.